Well, I'm excited to introduce our speaker to everyone. I'm personally really excited about hearing her. I've been introduced to her blog and Instagram by a friend a while ago. So when I heard that she was speaking, I was really excited. Our speaker today is Francie Winslow. She's a mom of four who lives in the area and currently speaks and writes and is really passionate about just sharing what the Lord has done in her life. And I'll read a little bit of her bio because it's more than I could just summarize. But as a young woman, Francie served in Mother Teresa's home for the dying in Calcutta, sat in brothels with girls trapped in the sex trade of Chiang Mai, slept in the bush of Nambia to reach tribal people and orphans with the gospel of Jesus, visited the homes of the poor in the Dominican Republic, and helped with the rebuilding and development of a village in Sri Lanka after the 2004 tsunami. In all, Francie is passionate about inviting others to experience God's tangible love that has the ability to transform every area of life. And there's even so much more on here that I could read, but I'm sure I don't want to take up her precious time, and I'm sure she would rather share about what the Lord is doing and has for us. But we are excited for her to speak and share with us today, and so help me in welcoming Francie.
Do I need to finish? Hi, Victoria. You made it.
And this is Victoria.
Okay, it is so good to be with you guys. I want to take a second to introduce you guys to a special friend of mine. Right here is Padma, and she is visiting. Kristen mentioned that I went to India, but she's visiting from India, from Calcutta. So everybody say hi, Padma. And I do have some books over there that I wrote called The God Experience, A 10-Week Guide to Feed Your Busy Soul, because I'm a mom of four, eight and under, so I get being busy and exhausted and wanting more of God, but not knowing how to make that work when you're sleep deprived and busy and running carpools or whatever your life looks like. And so I wrote that book. It's very approachable, very simple, and it's 10 weeks with just like a scripture and a practical way to engage the presence of God in the midst of your busy life every day for 10 weeks. And so the proceeds all go to Padma and her work in India. So it's so fun that she's here. Like, it just happens that she's here all the way from India this week while I'm speaking to you guys. But she is mothering hundreds of children in a leper colony. She's doing, literally, she's like Mother Teresa number two, and I'm so honored to call her my friend. And so it's the little bit that I can do as a Northern Virginia mom to give the proceeds from my book to her. So if you are interested, they're $10 a piece, and the donations go to her, and there's some information about where her work is like over there. So anyway, I just want to thank you for letting me be here. I was standing in the back looking at you guys, and I feel like my heart just wants to explode when I'm looking at you, because I see you as like the MVPs of our nation. I'm not even joking. Like, I think of Bill Gates or, you know, whoever the most powerful CEO is that you can think of. You guys are way more powerful. And because I'm looking at these little ones and you're shaping the minds and the hearts. And I have to preach that to myself. Like, that's what I'm doing. And people, mom speakers say that all the time. But the more I think about it, the more I really do believe it. We're forming the minds and the hearts of the next generation. And it's a huge deal. You know, we all know that our world and our culture is, like, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world and in our nation, but you guys have the powerful position of forming and molding the minds. And so this topic that we're talking about today, sex, it's a big deal. And as I'm raising up my little ones, I'm realizing, oh man, I got to be able to articulate what I think, what I believe, a wholesome, godly worldview about sexuality is to my children. So I better understand it myself. I want to practice it. I want to experience God's fullness in my marriage so that I have the ability with authority to articulate it to my kids. So I'm not just like, oh, I'm going to put my head in the sand on this one. It's a really big deal. So I feel like as moms, we get to be trailblazers on truth and pursue God with all of our hearts so that we can then give that to our kids, because we can't give them what we don't have, right? And so today I am thrilled to be here, and I'm even more thrilled that your topic for your year or your theme is deeply rooted, living rooted in the love of God. That word has been massive in my life since I got married. Actually, it kind of marked me when I first got married. The Lord spoke to me, like, truth, the truth for your life has to be rooted in trust. So I just want to open up with a scripture that has been one of my life verses. You don't have to look it up if you don't have your Bible, but it's Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. And I'm going to put a little bit of mom into it. But blessed is the mom who trust in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. She will be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And this mom will not fear when heat comes. Her leaves will constantly be green. This mom will not be anxious in the year of drought or in the year of lack or in the year of need. She will never cease from yielding fruit. And the idea is that she is an evergreen, constantly having green leaves and fruit. Why? Because of what's underground. And so I think of being rooted in the love of God and the living waters is really spiritual and kind of what we do at church. But we're going to talk about what it looks like to have a deeply rooted sex life and melding the two, where your idea of sexuality and sex and marriage is directly connected to a heart of a woman who trusts in God. You know, our hope is in the Lord, not in a perfect marriage. It's not in a perfect man. Our hope is not in having all of our, you know, life perfectly organized and, you know, performing at peak capacity. It's in the Lord who is our healer. So today I'm going to talk about some of my testimony, some friends' stories. We're going to get into a little bit of science and we're getting into a lot of practicals on what it looks like to see sex become a multiplier in your life. It's okay. I love little ones. It's okay. I mean, I get it. I'm with you. Feel free to let her squirm and squeal all she wants. So as Kristen mentioned, my first year of marriage, I'm just going to kind of let you jump right into my story in my life. We got married in June at the ripe age of 20. Yes, I know, it's crazy. But you know, and we're both following God. So we got married when I was 20, and by January, we had moved to Sri Lanka. We didn't know that that was happening, but for 6 months of our marriage, a lot of rocky stuff happening. It's one of those things where you get married and then all of a sudden you realize who you married. You know what I mean? It's like you get married and you think, yo, it's like all butterflies and all the good feelings. And then I don't know what it is, but it's something about you make that covenant and then all of a sudden stuff comes to the issue, you know, to the top, the stuff hits the fan, as they would say. And so we realized really quickly we had to know God together as our healer. And both of us carried in wounds or misunderstandings from our past or from our origins, our backgrounds that we brought to the table that rubbed each other the wrong way. You know, he would come home from work zoned out, and I was a newlywed who did not know how to make a thing, like didn't know how to scramble eggs. It was ridiculous. And so I worked so hard trying to make dinner, and he would come in and walk in and not even see the candlelight dinner I had made and like sit down on the couch and zone out. And I'm like, that makes my feelings feel so hurt. You don't even see me. You know, is that silliness, but that's real. But then also like major heart wounds that needed seriously reconstructive surgery on the inside, if you know what I mean. And so I'm thankful we were in a church that valued healing and the power of God to heal. You know, Jesus not only healed bodies, but he touched people's hearts and made them whole. And so we took the power of God to heal very seriously and found ourselves on our couch on a regular basis. We had a pink coral couch, and we called it the inner healing couch because we would constantly hurt each other or constantly even be shut down by something that happened. And we would just march ourselves right over to that couch and sit down and say, okay, God, we are a total mess. Would you heal us? Holy Spirit, shine a flashlight into our hearts. Show us what is messed up right now, because we're feeling the messed upness, but we don't know how to articulate it. We don't know how to figure out what the root is or why this happened. Would you do some weeding in our lives and uproot weeds that are choking out life in our marriage? And we did that with some pastors too, who helped us navigate. So the first couple of months of our marriage was a massive baptism, full immersion into our need for healing and the power of God to be a healer. And then we got an invitation in December, as if we, you know, deserve that or needed that or were ready for that. Will you guys move to Sri Lanka, you know, in the midst of your newlywed mess and help develop this project that was happening after the tsunami? And we're like, well, you know, why not? We don't have any kids. We don't have a mortgage. I took some time off of school. He put a pause on his work, and we went. One-way tickets, didn't know when we'd be back. And we talk about it as our honeymoon year because it was our first year, and there was clear blue water on one side of our, we had a one-room flat, like one room, clear blue Indian Ocean on one side with like beautiful sunsets, palm trees. I mean, it was like honeymoon. And then right under our flat, there was like herds of water buffalo, wild dogs, monkeys sitting in our windows, lizards on our walls, two twin beds pushed together as to be a bed, a married bed. And, you know, they're like surrounded in wood. And so you push them together, but right in the middle is like wood. So it was real. I mean, it was like a tiny cushion. It was very interesting. But thankfully, we were young and up for a challenge and adventure, and God broke through to us in powerful ways in that time of being around across the world in a completely foreign atmosphere in total poverty and devastation. He established us in a new way of thinking. And the reason I talk about a new way of thinking in our honeymoon year is because a friend of mine who is working with us looked at us with super tenderness and compassion. She said, you know what, Francie, in the middle of your mess, you guys are going to have a honeymoon, not just a honeymoon year, you're going to have a honeymoon marriage. And do you know that feeling when somebody speaks to you, it's not just like a nice thought, it's like it hits your heart and you think, there's something, like, I'm going to grab that and run with it. That's for me. That's a word that I want to believe. So I chewed on that for years, and I started thinking, you know, I'm going to actually pursue this. We're going to pursue this more for our marriage. And Webster defines honeymoon as, you could probably guess it, a period of harmony after a wedding. But a period, a short window of harmony after a wedding, all the highs, and if your honeymoon was even good. Some people have a rocky honeymoon. But generally speaking, the culture says, oh, enjoy the honeymoon phase, right? But just wait. Just wait till he leaves all those dirty socks all over the floor. Just wait till he loads the dishwasher wrong. Just wait till he cannot put the PJs on the children to save his life. You know, I mean, those are, I just have to, that's fine. They're in the bed. I don't care. They're dirty clothes. They're in the bed. Thank you for putting them in the bed. I'm like retraining myself, even though things are not just so. But they said, you know, just wait till the shoe drops, essentially. And it's this feeling as a newlywed thinking, oh, man, that's a bummer, because I'm kind of like, I like the honeymoon phase, but I guess it's going to end. And then God intercepted my way of thinking, and he's like, Francie, that is not according to truth at all, because the definition of harmony, of honeymoon, would be a sense of harmony. But in the kingdom of God, when we are in Christ and we're a new creation, harmony, unity, peace, wholeness doesn't crash after a short period. It increases and it grows. And that's our destiny and identity as children of God. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The trajectory is up. There may be hard times and suffering and dips, but internally, we're going from glory to glory. We're being renewed. We're being strengthened, not because we're great, but because he's great. And he is our infinite source of healing and wholeness, even when we are really messed up. Amen. So he is into the business of making things right that are all messed up. And so we were in that place of being messed up, but my friend gave me the word of, you're going to have a honeymoon marriage. So I started pursuing it, and we didn't have TV or anything over there, but I had some marriage books and I had some marriage CDs, and I would listen to them over and over again. And as a 20-year-old newlywed, I just started writing what God was teaching me about marriage. And probably the most significant thing that made me blush, because I grew up in the Southern culture of like prudishness, it's queen, you know, like you don't touch that with a 10-foot stick. We don't talk about sex. I didn't grow up understanding necessarily what a healthy way of talking about sex was. It was just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go there. And then you're supposed to get married and all of a sudden know how to do it. You know, like, how does that work in the church, that you just don't do it and then you get married and you're supposed to know how to think about it? And so some of the voices that kind of make me chuckle now, but I remember an older woman that I overheard in the mall who was kind of a friend of the family saying, you know what? I just am so fed up. All I want is some affection without erection. And I thought, oh my word, I cannot believe she just said that. And I'm just like, oh, la, 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 trying to plug my ears, pretend I didn't hear that. And then, so those are like the voices. The little bit I did hear was not so, I didn't know what to think about that. And then in college, I remember having brunch with an older lady who's really godly, beautiful lady, really fit, all organic. And, you know, just, wow, she's beautiful, and she's got her stuff together. And she told me over brunch, she's like, you know what? The truth is, when you get older, it just goes downhill, and I would just rather have a big, greasy cheeseburger than have to have sex. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is sad. And it made me feel this sense of hopelessness at the possibility of a honeymoon marriage. And so I started leaning into God and saying, you know what? I'm gonna fight for this. And in that season of life as newlyweds, we started learning how to fight. Not fighting against each other, but fighting for each other. We learn how to fight for our marriage. And what that looked like in the midst of our messiness, needing our healer, undoing the voices of the world and the voices of church culture that didn't know how to articulate healthy sexuality, we started fighting for our marriage. And what that looked like for us was leaning into each other in the midst of conflict, leaning into each other when we were feeling like we were disconnected, because we realized each other, we were not the enemy, but disconnection was our enemy. And so we were going to fight against disconnection by connecting. So we ended up being intimate sexually almost every day for that first year of marriage. I mean, there's a few days where we'd be traveling or sick, but we pursued it like crazy because we thought, you know what? When we feel disconnected, we believe that God's best for us is to be more connected. So God gave us this gift of sex to lean into each other. So what we started seeing as we leaned into each other and learned how to fight for each other instead of against each other, we saw massive breakthrough. And in the moments where at the beginning we would get our feelings hurt, or he'd be shut down or discouraged, or we'd just be indifferent atmospheres, we learned what it was like to lean back into each other. And what we started seeing was massive breakthrough in our level of oneness and connection. Oneness was a word, you know, when you're married, there's things that you want, but it's like men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It's like different language systems. Oneness was this word I just kept coming to. I don't know what it's like. I just want oneness. I can't describe it. I just want oneness with you. And we started realizing that God gave us the actual gift of sex to bring us into a deeper place of oneness. Why didn't anybody ever articulate that to me before? It could have saved a lot of heartache. But it started becoming a real reality for me. And the scripture that stuck out to me as a newlywed, I remember sitting on my floor with all my Bibles, all my different versions out, scouring the Bible concordances for the word love. Like, God, teach me how to love this man. I don't know how to love him. And there's lots of verses on love, but the one that stuck out to me the most that I felt like he highlighted is Philippians 2. It says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being, listen to this, like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. I'm like, that's what I want. This is written for the church, but at the you have the church, and then you have family, and then you have marriage. So really, marriage is at the core of the body of Christ in the terms of relational capacities and how God created his kingdom to come and infiltrate the world. It starts with the core of family and works out. And so I feel like grace to apply this to marriage. But he says, be of one accord, one mind, unity. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for your own interest. You should look for your own interest. Don't be a doormat. This is not saying be abused. This is not saying be taken advantage of at all. But it's saying don't look out only for your interest, but look out for the interests of others. And in that place, I felt like God was giving me permission to be the wife I was created to be. Francie, and I cannot emphasize this enough, this is not an invitation to be abused or to be overlooked, but it is an invitation to be empowered as a wife and to say, you know what, I'm going to find out, which is just what we were talking about at our table this morning, what is his need, what are his strengths, what are his, what can I do to be a blessing, and I'm going to look out for those needs as my number one. And all the books were telling me, sex is his big need, respect and sex. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do that. And this is where I like to address to sex drives can be higher, some in men, some in women, and some women feel a sense of shame that their sex drive is higher than their husband's. If that's you, you're not alone. That's very common. What I want to add to that, though, is that sex drives change with seasons and with hormones and with sleep and with job stress. And so don't freak out about it. Just lean into each other and learn to fight for each other and fight for your connection instead of leaning out of your leaning out of your marriage. So let nothing be done out of your own, out of vain conceit or selfish ambition, but lean into each other. So I felt like that was God giving me permission to lean into his need. And when we started having sex regularly, it was like chains were breaking off of my own shame of my body, of my inability to love myself. I have been all sorts of sizes and weights over the years. So just know that, like, I have been all over the spectrum. But I didn't love my body. And so that was a really hard thing to give myself to my husband when I didn't really like myself. But articulating even that, because we were committed to leaning into each other, I had to face that insecurity. It wasn't something that I just had to, that I got to ignore and let it be a divide between us. I had to lean into that and be like, you know what? The truth is, it's hard for me to have sex right now because I don't like what I'm giving you. And then articulating that, not in like a whiny, insecure way that, you know, was just like begging for affirmation, but saying, you know, it would help me if you would remind me who I am and remind me what you see when you see me, because I don't see the truth right now. And that was the deal, is that I wasn't seeing what was true about myself, and I needed him to remind me of truth. So for months, he told me every day, this is what I see when I see you. And it broke me free. The truth will set us free, right? And so we take baby steps along the way of, God, I'm going to lean into my marriage, and I'm going to be deeply rooted in you as my healer, as the one who sets me free and the one who gives me ultimate confidence. And I'm going to lean in to see my marriage become more deeply rooted, to see every time we lean into trusting God and we lean in to do what he commands us to do, which is to love others, including our husbands, it's like our roots go deeper and we get more access to the strength we need as wives. So I started thinking, wow, our marriage is having breakthrough and we are absolutely enjoying this, which was unexpected, to be honest. So I started thinking, this is just great for us, you know, and I would have lunch. We had moved back at this point, and I would have lunch with girls or go out with girls, and my husband would be like, did you talk about sex? I'm like, no. Why would I talk about sex? That's so weird. You know, I'm like, we have a good marriage, but nobody wants to hear about that. And he would just prod me and be like, well, they need to hear it. I just have a feeling they need to hear it. Or you need to talk about that. Or you need to make space for that. And so a lot of people ask me, does your husband know what you talk about? Like, yes, he actually was the first one that pushed me off of the cliff. But I started talking to other moms about it and eventually started realizing that I wasn't the only one who had a lot of misunderstandings about the power of sex. And that I wasn't the only one who thought, oh, before I thought, it's a woman's duty, it's a man's need, and I was shifting in my view, and I started sharing with some friends how my view was shifting and how my misunderstandings were being aligned with truth, and I started just asking them, what if? Everybody say that, what if? What if? Because I'm not a counselor, I'm not a therapist, I have no degree in marriage counseling at all. I'm just a mom and a wife who has pursued a question that says, what if? What if I leaned into my marriage? What if I sat before God and said, we're a little messed up. Would you come in and heal? Because we need a healing work. What if we decided to have more sex on purpose and we didn't just wait for like the perfect moment when everything, you know, that never happens? What if we intentionally pursued more intimacy in our marriage? What would happen? So I started asking my friends that over like pedicures, and it was like, what if, you know, trying to like bring it up in the most non-awkward way possible. And they started saying, well, I don't know what would happen. And then, you know what, they went home and they talked to their husband about it, and they would come back to me and say, Francie, we are more connected than we have ever been in our marriage. And then I've been a part of mom's ministries for a long time, and we were having a mom play date from one of my groups that I was a part of, and no one showed up except this one girl. I'm like, oh, she's going to get it. You know, because if you go to a play date with me, you know what you're going to talk about. And so the kids were all playing, and we had a picnic blanket out, and we had the babies, and I'm sitting there, and marriage comes up, and we started talking, and she's like, you know, my husband just, he works so much. He works all the time. And then when he gets home from work, he says, I'm going back out to meet some guys for a drink and to talk about more work stuff. And she said, I'm just exhausted and we never connect and I'm so fed up with it. And I just said, what if you found out what would make him feel loved? You ask that question, what would make you feel loved? And what if you intentionally pursued more intimacy in your marriage? And if you have sex like once every 6 months, try to up it just a little bit. Try holding hands. Try to kiss for 10 seconds. You know, it doesn't have to be a 0 to 60, but just intentionally pursue more connection on a consistent basis. It's not like one day I tried it, it didn't work. It's one of those things where you sow for a while and then you reap. You reap what you sow. And it is a true in marriage also. So this girl, she said, you know what I did, Francie? She met up with me later. She says, I went home and I asked him, and you know what makes him feel loved? I said, what? She said, he said he would feel loved if I brought him a glass of iced tea. Can you believe that? She said, I can do that. I can so do that. And so she started like walking in, here, honey. And he was like, wow, I feel so loved. And she's like, done. And his love bucket was getting filled up. We talk about that with our kids all the time. Your love bucket. How's your love bucket doing? So his love bucket was getting filled up in the sense of, I think, just respect and service. You know, the love languages. Maybe his is acts of service, I don't know. But he was starting to feel more loved, and then it was cracking the door open for more connection, getting back on the same page. And you know what? Before long, they had like a weekend getaway. They somehow made room for, they dropped the kids off at grandma's. They went to Annapolis. They had a fantastic time. They're having more intimacy and more connection, and he stopped going out after work. He started getting home earlier. And it's not a magic pill, but connection breeds connection, you know, and the more connection you have, the more connection you want. And I talk about it this with women this way because there are so many hormones that are so on our side in this. And one of those is dopamine, and it is the reward system in our bodies. And it's even proven in Facebook research, you know, the more we're on it, we like refresh our screen a million times a day and look for more likes, or, you know, it's like this reward system where you get a new like, or you get a friend request, or you get something and it feeds that I need to go back and see if I got more. Well, the same thing is in your body. When you're intimate with your husband, dopamine is released. And so some women are like, oh, it doesn't really work for me. I'm like, well, how much are you having sex? And they're like, well, you know, once every couple months or once every couple weeks. I'm like, well, what if you tried it more often on a regular basis? Because dopamine is in your body. And so it's the reward system. It makes you want to come back for more. So I talk about it like the more, the less, the less. The more you do it, the more dopamine's in your system, the more you want it. So, and it's like the more you do it, the more connection you sense, the more connection grows, the more you want to do it. And it's an awesome snowball. The same thing is true. And we found this in our marriage in seasons that are tight, where we're exhausted. The less we do it, the more we're like, I'm kind of tired. Good night. You know, it's just easier to get into that rut of, no thanks. Yeah. And I just realized, wow, I'm going to break that cycle right now and believe God in his goodness made my body to say the more, and I'm going to jump in. Even though I don't want more, I'm going to believe that that works. Because not only do you have dopamine when you have sex, oxytocin. So all these sweet, precious nursing babies that are in here, oxytocin is released in your body during birth. And also when you nurse, and that sense of closeness, even when you hold hands or have extended eye contact, oxytocin floods your body, and it's the sense of, it's like the cuddle hormone. So how good is God that all these hormones fill our bodies when we do this act that he gave us for the context of sex that no one else is supposed to share in, supposed to, right? It's this holy, sacred opportunity of oneness and connection that balloons the goodness in your marriage that's supposed to be there. And when this very holy, precious gift is ignored or perverted, it like shrinks our level of connection. And so God is so good. Our view of sex has gotten so skewed that I think we overlook it or have been so wounded, which is why he's a healer, and he can come in and realign our hearts and our minds with truth, and which is a process. But not only do we have dopamine, we have oxytocin, which is the cuddle hormone that makes you want to be close. There's vasopressin, which is called the monogamy hormone. I mean, the list could go on and on, but these hormones that flood our bodies with sex end up being this huge blessing, this huge bonus that we discover as we continue to lean into connection with each other. It creates a ripple effect, and that's why I titled this The Ripple Effect of Sex, because what I've realized in sex is that I am extremely powerful. I want you to say that, I'm powerful. Never for manipulation, right? Never to use sex as a carrot where I do this for you, you do this for me, or I want something, so never. You know, we're crafty, we're smart women. We know how to get what we want, but we are also called to be holy. And so sex is a powerful gift, and we as women have the ability to awaken something in our husbands that draw us into a place of deeper connection that our husbands long for, were made for, that we were made for. And what I've seen, how I've seen this play out is that in my marriage, my husband, I was telling the girls at my table that he is in sales. So his emotions are a roller coaster. He's a rock, but work is stressful. He gets evaluated every day on his numbers. Literally every day he has a number beside his name and he gets judged. And it's like every week it's like, I don't know, this could be the end. You know, and so as with that kind of pressure, which most of us know that some level of pressure from our husband's work or our work, he is all over the place. So I remember one day I saw the headlights come in the driveway and I'm like, yes. Relief, help is on the way. You know, I'm just like at the end of my rope. I hear his footsteps up the stairs. He opens the door, drops his briefcase, and I see that like look of, I got nothing. You know, like, I am done. Don't bring me drama. You know, I've got enough drama at work. I can't handle any more drama. And I'm like, okay. My old self, newlywed, was always really disappointed with that entrance and felt offended and felt hurt that you come home and I've been waiting for you all day and you have nothing to give me. You have no connection. Oh, and I just want to, close up my arms and turn my back. And one day, in the middle of me battling these thoughts of discouragement or feeling lonely or feeling empty and offended, the Lord stopped me in my tracks. He said, "Francie, you are powerful. Love this man that I've given you." I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "Take him upstairs." You know, how often do you hear like the Lord tell you, "Go upstairs"? And so I'm like, "Yes, Lord." And so he's like, "I felt like the Lord was just like, this is a place where you live deeply rooted. You trust me to be everything you need, but you love and you bless this man I've given you because you have more than enough in me. You don't need him. You get to bless him, and then I bless your connection," right? So I don't get all my sense of satisfaction or contentment or wholeness from my husband. I get it from Jesus. And so I leaned into him in that moment where I would rather lean away. And I said, "Hey, Wyatt, let's go upstairs. You know, the kids are content, put a cartoon or whatever." And we've done that time and time again where it was easier for me to lean away because I felt hurt or offended or empty. I leaned in when I didn't have emotional connection. And that's tricky for us women because we think emotional connection is required for physical connection. And if I'm emotionally disconnected from you, I can't do that. And in any sort of abusive relationship, again, this doesn't count. But in a sleepy marriage, in a disconnected marriage, in a maybe underperforming marriage in terms of potential, this is a good thing to do. Before, even if you're not emotionally connected, say, "I'm going to lean in. Even though I don't have all my needs met at this point, I'm going to serve you." And what happens 99.9% of the time is he comes back to life. And he's like, "I can't shut him up." And it's all of a sudden, he feels so loved and invested in, and it's a way I can honor and serve him. The atmosphere of our home shifts to a place of connection. And I've been amazed at the power of sex to bless our marriage. And I never heard that message growing up. And so I started realizing this is just incredibly powerful, and I'm incredibly powerful to use my body, which is God-given, to bless and serve my marriage that blesses and serves my children. Because my children benefit from a connected marriage. They feel it when mommy and daddy are in love. It's so sweet. My little girl, she's an artist. She's six. She just, art is everything. She drew a picture the other day of two flowers and heart, like one flower was clearly female, one was male, long hair, short hair, lashes, no lashes, and hearts. There's a rainbow in the middle, and then hearts were going back and forth. And she said, "This is mommy and daddy giving each other love." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you, God." And it's the fruit of God revealing the goodness of himself in our marriage, and that blesses our children, and they have a sense of security. They have a sense of safety. They have a sense of joy knowing everything is right between my mommy and daddy. I'm safe. And then you know what it gives them is it gives them a foundation to stand on for their adult life where they know this is a solid rock. Marriage is a good thing. And then they go out into the world and they know, wow, I want something good for my life. And in our world of marriage is decaying, we want to give this to our kids. We want to give them this solid view of sexuality that in the beginning, God had a man and a woman. He created them on purpose, a man and a woman. And he put his very image on a man and a woman. And he said, "Come together, have sex. I bless you." And from that place of intimacy, be fruitful and multiply and take dominion on the earth. Steward my earth from this place of connection. It's so powerful. So it's not just that sex is a husband's need. It's not just, sex is really great for our marriage. We're such a happy couple. It's a great commission calling that as a marriage, we become a powerhouse couple that bears fruit on the earth. You know, Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples, "It is the will of my Father that you bear much fruit." It's not only the fruit of our womb and children, it's the fruit of our lives. So when our husbands go to work, when we go to our work, wherever we are, we live differently when our marriage is solid. We have a different sense of confidence. We have a different sense of authority to love people when things are right in our marriage. And so when I talk about a ripple effect, I really sincerely believe that God gave us the gift of sex in a marriage because it impacts our kids, our careers, our communities, our churches, and ultimately, this is a stretch, but our nation. Our nation is dying for solid marriages. And it starts with this gift of God being our healer and making us whole on the inside as women, and then extending that wholeness and that grace over our marriage. And it's not easy. It's a process of trusting God, living deeply rooted in the nature of God and who he is and what he promises us, which is a true renewal on every level of our lives. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I feel like that is a massive, compelling why for why marriage matters, why it's worth it to invest in your sex life. But if you interview thousands of women, especially young moms, 99.9% of them would say their biggest impediment to marriage and sex is, can you guess it? Exhaustion. We're so tired. And that's real. Like, I affirm you in that. I'm tired. I've like saw somebody recently with these like strips on their eyes. I'm like, maybe that would work for me. Like, help me open my eyes a little bit. I'm so tired all the time. And so I started asking God, you know, like, what do we do when we're so tired? How do we fix this? Because at the end of the day, I can have all of these great ideas about theoretical theology, the move of God on the earth, beginning with the smallness of family and how he created marriage to be a reflection of his invitation to us for love with him forever in eternity, the great wedding. You know, it's all a metaphor. But what about the nights when it's like 9 o'clock and all I want to do is go to sleep and I don't have anything left in my tank? And so I want to give you guys some practicals of what it looks like. So if you have a pen and you're a note taker or you have your phone out, I want you to just take a few notes and I want you to think about all the things I'm giving you. I'm giving you a lot of practicals. And then I just want you to think about one that you can actually do. One of these will stand out to you as like, that one was for me. I can do that. You don't have to do all of them. Growth just happens one step at a time. So I entitled a blog post. It's kind of corny to tell you the truth, but it's true. How do you go from tired mom to hot wife? Because I want to be that way. I'm tired, but I want to be energetic. I want to be, you know, into the moment, but I am straight up tired. So one of the most powerful sex organs we have is our brains. And what happens when we start changing the way we think is the way we feel and the way we live changes as well. So intentionally, this is a challenge, intentionally think about sex. That's not something I naturally do. I could go weeks without thinking about sex. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, that. Okay, let me get back on that page. We have enough on our plates, but intentionally think about sex. Think about things you love about your husband. Every day, think about what you love about him. We had a great conversation with our mentor mom right here. What is your name?
Kelly.
And she encouraged us to, there are so many things good and bad about our husbands, but she said, you can't change things about your husband. Think about the good in him. Think about what is good. It may be integrity. It may be he works out and takes care of his body, and that might be a thorn in your flesh, but you know what? Thank you, God, that he's strong and he's healthy. Or thank you, God, that he works hard, even though he's working late. Thank you that he works hard, or thank you that he cares for my kids. Thank you he plays and wrestles with my kids. I love his hands. They are so cute. That was like one thing that first attracted my husband. I'm a hands person. And so just think about something that you love about your husband. And then I want you to literally jot it down somewhere. And I want you to text it to him before you leave. Because not only should we be thinking and renewing our mind with what is true and good, because we have so much junk and constant input from the world, honestly, social media, I'm on social media, but it is a constant thing where I'm just like, I don't know about that. It's so much noise, but choosing our input, being selective with what you put into your brain, because it's a very true thing to renew your mind, changes everything about how you live, and then communicate that to your husband. Because sometimes we'll think, oh, he knows how much I appreciate him, but he really might not. If you're not sure that he knows, he probably doesn't know. And if you tell him literally every day, I appreciate this about you. It's like just, that is just a good pace and you could probably do more because what our husbands hear in the world is probably you're not enough, you're a failure, your future's unstable. You look at this other guy, you don't compare to him. That's what the real is in his mind. So we need to overreach that and speak truth even more to our husbands. Changing your mind, get geared up for sex earlier in the day. That means don't wait until 8:30 when he comes home and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, oh shoot, oh my gosh, I'm so like, he's over here and he comes home and I'm like way over here in my dirty yoga pants and I'm thinking, oh no, I cannot get there. No way. Like that is way too long of a jump. But if I start in the morning and think, okay, tonight we're probably gonna be intimate. So I'm gonna start thinking about, okay, what is my favorite memory of that? Oh, that was sweet. Yeah, that was good. Or I'm gonna think about maybe cleaning up my bedroom because that might help me, you know, or I'm gonna think about wearing some cute underpants that nobody will know about, but I know about, and it begins to change the way I feel about myself because I'm aware that I'm a female and it's good to be female and it's good to be beautiful. And even if no one knows that I feel beautiful because I know a little secret. So doing little things like that, text him a little note and that begins the flirting earlier in the day. Code words are a really fun thing. Again, our mentor mom was totally encouraging me. They have such a great marriage after how many years? 42 years. And so code words are a great idea on, hey, I just can't wait to whatever, you know. We said at some point, like, hey, I'll see you later. That kind of means like, wink, wink. Or, I mean, it could be, hey, let's make a pizza tonight. You want to? You know, or whatever. I mean, it can be your thing, whatever makes you laugh. And even having the conversation with your husband, hey, let's have code words. Let's think about that. That would be such a blessing to him. Because what I found with my husband, it's not even like being available. It's that I want to be available, ministers to his heart. It's that I'm thinking about our sex life, ministers to his heart. So it's not just me being a yes man and just being like, oh, sure, here I am. It is that I want to invest in this area of our life, and it ministers to him. I'm not even joking. Like, it is ministers to his heart. Schedule sex. We have done this in a lot of different ways through the seasons, but we had really good advice from a pastor of ours who said, you know what? The older you get, the older your kids get, the more busy you get, you have to prioritize it. Just like you schedule soccer and theater and dance and play dates, this is core to the health of your family. Schedule it. You know, we are like schedule queens in this area of the world. Schedule it, make it a priority just as much as you would any other priority in your life. In general, we aim for 3 times a week, if not more. That might sound astronomical to you, that might sound normal to you, but we found a rhythm. I just say that to you, not for you to feel like you need to be in a certain way, but just to give an idea. We found that we feel most connected when we are very regular. And when we haven't had sex in a while, we can feel it. And life is just not as good. It's really simple. EMS, you can write that down. This is another tip, early morning sex. So again, if you're tired, just think, okay, honestly pray. Like, God, would you just help me to wake up a little bit early? And it is so powerful. It takes like, you know, it's quicker. It takes like 5 minutes because, you know, like the day is about to happen, but you're like, hey. And it is so sweet to like part ways and you feel connected at the beginning of the day. It's a gift. So if you can't quite make it happen one night, just think, okay. And also, like, instead of rejecting and be like, no, no, I have a headache, you can think, you know, I am exhausted right now, but I really want to connect with you. How about first thing in the morning? I'll be sure to wake you up and you'll be like pretty happy about that. And that is a really sweet way to love him. The last thing that I want to mention is a practice that we started when our children were little. Our first two kids are 16 months apart, so life was a complete blur for a couple years. I don't remember any of it. And I was a part of a mom's group that saved my life. And so that was powerful. But I realized that we were getting into the roommate rut where we were just high-fiving each other, and I never was without a baby, and everybody was crying all the time, and we were new, and I was in my master's program. It was awful. And we realized we are about to miss each other like ships passing in the night, for real. We got to do something. And so what we decided to do was every night from 8 to 9, I put away the laundry. He put away his work phone. We put away everything and we zoned in on each other. And that became a lifeline for us that we've been doing for now 6 years. Every night from 8 to 9, and it's become a rhythm. It's not even something we try anymore. It's just how we work. And our kids know 8 to 9 is mommy daddy time. And then we end up going to bed because we're super tired. And that's been a really powerful thing to create a rhythm. So for you, your rhythm will look different, but think in terms of rhythm of connection. Maybe it's a coffee date for 10 minutes first thing in the morning. Maybe it's over lunch if you have an ability to connect over lunch or whatever. But think about in terms of a rhythm of connection. Okay, so in closing, a honeymoon marriage is not a fairy tale. It's actually God's gift to us and what he wants us to seek from him. He wants to grow us to the point where we continually experience increased harmony, increased connection, increased oneness, that the world's view of honeymoon marriage, where honeymoon, harmony, that is not our destiny. That's not our inheritance from God. Our inheritance is increased. And if your husband is not in this place or you're not in this place, the truth is that's not where it's found anyway. Just like you're talking about living deeply rooted, our honeymoon marriage starts with us being deeply rooted in the love of God, finding our worth and our identity and our value and our confidence in him and believing him to be the healer that he is. And if this conversation has been hard for you this morning, if you felt like, I've got major wounds here and this is hurtful to hear this, I just want to affirm you and your worth and your beauty and your value, that if things have been hard in your marriage or there have been significant wounds or infidelity or anything that's touched on places of betrayal or any hint of abuse. You are so valuable, and I affirm you and your pursuit of getting somebody help to help you who can walk with you in a wholeness, because you don't have to do it alone. None of us arrive whole. We're all in the process of being whole and being made right with God and right with each other. And I just want to encourage you to know your value and your worth. And it's such an honor to bless you today and to be with you and to share my story. And I just love to close in prayer, if you don't mind. God, you are good and you are enough. You're more than enough for us. And I just thank you for the hope of marriage. I thank you for your goodness that in the beginning you made it, you established it, and you blessed it so that there could be increase on the earth and of every good thing. And along the way, humanity, we have royally messed it up. But God, I praise you that you're a healer and that you want to restore what is broken. And so tonight, this morning, we just open our hands to you and we just say, come and restore and renew. And we invite you into our marriages and into this very sacred, intimate place that you created to be good. And I pray, Father, that these women would experience goodness in their marriage, goodness in their mothering, goodness in their home, and they would experience a sense of your presence and your power, and that their lives would be shifted into a place of fresh wholeness, fresh hope, and a honeymoon marriage. We thank you that you are that good, and we trust in you. We ask that you take our roots deep so that there can be fruit from our lives in every season. And we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.